You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome in at this time, as he joins us every Monday at about this time, Neil Walker, our guy, brought to you by A-Plus Concrete and Foundation Repair. Online, it's aplusconcretefoundationrepair.com. Neil, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing out there?
We're great. Colony's playing golf, so forget about that with him. He's not here right now. Yeah, so how about that? He's just playing golf. So.
Living the life.
Yep, sure. Take us through Hug Watch, if you will. All right, you're in the dugout. This happens to a teammate. Somebody gets traded. You see that it's this time of year. There's a double switch, or he's taken out of the game. He comes in. You've been behind that curtain before. A lot of people in the public just see it on television. What's that moment like? What do you say? What do you do? How does it all work when a guy gets traded in game like Frazier did yesterday?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, obviously on certain teams, if you're not doing well, creeping toward July 30th or July 31st, you know, and you're having a good year, and you're maybe on an expiring contract or a year away from that expiring contract, you're on tilt. You're feeling the possibility of going somewhere. And, you know, as easy as people think it is to just compartmentalize what's going on the field with thinking about, well, shoot, if I get traded on this road trip, what do I got to do? Do I have to go back to Pittsburgh, or I have to go back to New York and pack up my apartment and get out, and what am I going to do if I have a family? All this stuff goes through your mind. But as far as Hug Watch is concerned, you know, that's an interesting way to say goodbye to a teammate and potentially a friend. So there have been times where I've had teammates that, you know, they get traded early in the game, and by the time you get into the locker room, he's already gone. So, you know, there's so many different levels to it, but, you know, that's part of the business. That's part of how baseball is structured right now. You know, a lot of guys find themselves in that situation.
What can it be like, Neil, when you're the guy getting dealt, whether it's around the deadline or not, and all of a sudden you walk into a new place, and yeah, there's probably a sense of, I guess, disappointment, or, you know, just that sense of loss maybe that comes with leaving a bunch of familiar scenes and familiar faces. But then how can the re-energy, yeah, I guess that's a word. If not, I'll make it one, of moving on to a different place affect you when you first get there?
Yeah, I mean, there's two different scenarios there, right? You're either in Adam Frazier that's having a really good year, all-star season, and you're going from a team that obviously has a very, very small chance of making the playoffs, and you're most likely going to a place where you're either on a winning team or a team that's fighting for a wild card spot. Or you're on the other end of the spectrum and you're, a throw-in for that guy, and you're looking for an opportunity maybe in an organization that doesn't have as much depth, and, you know, you may be coming from a place where you've been blocked as a double-A, triple-A player. So on both ends of the spectrum, it's exciting. You know, for me going, I got traded 1 year from the Mets to the Brewers in early August, and I was going from a place where we struggled. We had a bunch of injuries in New York, and went to Milwaukee, and we were fighting for a wild card spot, which we missed by one game at the end of the year. But it is re-energizing as a player to just basically not have a clean slate, but to go somewhere and say, okay, there's 8 weeks left of the season. You know, I can deal with living in a hotel or an Airbnb for the rest of the season. Hopefully my significant other or my family can help pick up the pieces wherever I was coming from. And in my scenario, my wife and father-in-law packed up my entire New York City apartment you know, because it was right. It was, you know, they needed us to get out because somebody else was getting into the apartment, and that's how they, you know, you didn't have to pay rent for the rest of the year if you got out quick enough. So, really, really exciting, but also really stressful and anxious, to be traded in during the season.
Can you name who the Mets received when you were traded to the Brewers?
Putting you on the spot.
Well, yeah, it was John Neese, and I took over John Neese's apartment, and then a couple years later, I had to pawn off my apartment to somebody, so I wasn't
when you were traded to Milwaukee from the Mets. Who did the Mets get in that trade? Can you name that person?
I have no idea.
Some fella named Eric Hanhold. Have you ever heard of Eric Hanhold?
I don't know Eric. I don't, you know, if he's selling hot dogs now or if he's
there. We go.
You know, I have no idea what he's doing, but I'm guessing the Mets didn't exactly get what they hoped for.
No. I think Eric Hanhold didn't work out too well. 0-0 for the Mets, 7.71 ERA. So that's that. But what happens? Let me tell you, or let me ask you though, like with Frazier, if you're that guy, because this has happened to you, you have been traded. How do they deliver the news? Does a traveling secretary talk to you? Does the GM come in and talk to you? Like, is it a whirlwind? Is your head spinning? How does it all take me through that day?
I mean, I think that for the most part, you're prepared for it. You know, you're prepared for something. You know, in past, the one time that I was trading during the season, I had a pretty good idea, and we all kind of on that particular Mets team, we had a handful of guys that were on expiring contracts, so. Everybody's just kind of on a day-to-day basis. You're having conversations with your teammates and with you hear the rumors and things like that. And sometimes if you see the GM, they'll just kind of tell you, hey, listen, you know the deal. There may be something happen. Just hang in there. But for the most part, when I got traded, it was right around batting practice, and the manager came up to me in batting practice and said, hey, you got to go see the GM inside. And you go in there and you know what's about to happen. So, you know, that's been my case. I don't think Ben was on this particular trip to San Francisco, but something tells me either the traveling secretary or the club, he was probably sent down to tell the manager, and then the manager lets Adam know, and they pull him out of the game, and you know, hugs all around, and he's out the door to San Diego.
Maybe Eric Hanhold give us a better answer, because
he's in Norfolk now. I checked. Okay. Yeah, Eric's down in Norfolk, so things are working out well for him. Neil Walker with us for his weekly visit on the Fan Morning Show. We were talking about it earlier this morning. We didn't get to really dive deep into the conversation yet, Neil, but the U.S. Olympic men's basketball team losing their opener, and they kind of struggled with obviously COVID absences and trying to put a roster together while the finals were going on. But you've had that unique opportunity to represent your country on the international stage. I think it was the Pan Am game. So just what does it do for you as a fan and just as an American to see a team that should be tearing through everybody struggle to even – I mean, they ended up losing by what, 8 to France yesterday it was?
Yeah, it's, you know, and Colin and I were texting about this just in general the other day, and I like to compare it, especially in the basketball and baseball world. You know, the World Baseball Classic is so awesome in baseball because the best of the best are going to play for the countries because it's not during the season, and you know, you have the opportunity. You just have to kind of start your spring training a little bit earlier to get yourself prepared. You know, in basketball, on the other end of the spectrum, especially teams that are in the playoffs, you know, you may not be getting the best players to represent your country because they are coming off a season. Most guys are saying, you know what, I need a break. I need to take some time for myself to get my body back where I want it to be. So, you know, for me in these Olympics, it's somewhat, and I wouldn't call it bittersweet, but it's somewhat interesting because, you know, obviously you have some of the most talented players in the world, but you don't have the most talented players in the world. So I don't know if on the American side that if guys are taking this lightly or for granted and saying, well, you know, we don't have the best players in the world anyway. People understand that. If we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. No big deal. But, you know, other countries, I can guarantee you other countries are not thinking that way. So hopefully that's not the rhetoric that's going on in, with the USA basketball, and they show a little bit of sense of urgency in their second game. But, you know, that's kind of the way I see it. And you wish that there was more incentive or a way to get the best players in the world, especially baseball, obviously, that's going on as we speak, as we sit here. But, you know, you're obviously not going to let them rip away any 40-man guys or major league guys to play on the Olympic roster. So it tends to be veteran guys that are kind of on their way out, or it's, you know, double-A, triple-A prospects that haven't quite hit the 40-man rosters yet.
Text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Now, I remember when you played on that Pan Am team's game, Neil, and that's when, like, Daniel Bard was the greatest amateur pitcher ever, and I believe he was on that team, if I'm not mistaken, on that Pan Am Games team that you're on. He was just mowing everyone down. When you went to Colorado Springs or wherever they had the workouts, and then whenever you represented America, did it feel different when you had, like, an American flag on your uniform, though? And like, I'm thinking about the Olympics now. Did you feel like you were playing for a bigger purpose?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. The whole setup, I was going into my senior year of high school and got invited to go to Joplin, Missouri to try out. And there was, you know, 150 kids trying to get 13 roster spots, and I was lucky enough to play well enough to make the team. And then you go down around the Atlanta area and as a team, and you're playing, you know, some local all-star teams and for about a couple weeks. And then we ended up going down to Curacao in the Netherlands Antilles and playing these incredibly good teams from around the country. And to be honest, I think we ended up losing to Cuba that year in the championship, like 3-2 or something, a low scoring game. But yeah, you felt it. I mean, putting that jersey on and seeing the American patch on your jersey and the USA symbols, it does something to you. You definitely don't try not to take that for granted. And I know I didn't feel that, you know, not just myself felt that, but everybody that I played with that put that jersey on really, really felt, you know, very similarly.
Did you at least get to play on real baseball fields, Neil? We're watching these softball games that are being played on a converted baseball field where they got the pitcher circle painted on the grass and bases just laid down. Have you seen this yet?
Totally ridiculous.
I saw it in our particular year when we went to Curacao, they didn't have much grass on the island, so the baseball fields were like basically all dirt. So
wow.
And these are 60-90 fields, and you're playing, you know, the Pan Am games on it. And when you first got down there, we were playing on practice fields with just rocks everywhere. The first thing we would do as infielders when we went out of the field was a rock check. So you go out there near your position about 15 feet in each direction and try to find every rock and toss it over the fence that it's not on the field anymore. But you know, everybody was playing on the same surface, so there was no complaining to be had.
If you don't do a rock check, it leads quickly to a cup check, Neil. You know that. It's true.
Yes, I do know that.
Absolutely. Neil Walker joining us, Fan Morning
or
Show.
Or a tooth check. You catch a bad hop and a mush.
Hey, what do you think about this slotting system in terms of a defined amount in one big pool for a draft, and you kind of have to divvy up in the first few rounds of what you're doing with your money? Do you like that, and do you think that this has helped entice that now they're going to get the kid from Penn State to go and play and sign with the Pirates? Do you think that that'll help entice people, or do you think – how will this all work out as we get further and further along with one big pool for a draft in terms of a big lump sum?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, in the early 2000s, when I was drafting 04 and Andrew was drafting 05, the Pirates had back-to-back number 11 overall picks, and both Andrew and I got the exact same amount. And there really was no negotiating. It was hey, here's your slot. You can either take it or leave it. You're a high school kid. You know, we'd love to have you in the organization, but you know, this is what we have. And you know, to fast forward where we are now, and to basically have these player pools and to have these slots, and you know, to hope that maybe you get some guys that go under slots, you can sign the third, fourth, fifth rounder that you thought, you know, the Josh Bells of the world that you thought that were definitely going to college, but maybe you waft an extra $1 million at them and it changes their mind completely. And it sounds like that's what happened with this Lonnie White player. So you know, it's super interesting. It's a super interesting strategy and way to do things. And it seems like GMs and teams are getting more strategic, especially as in regards to the high school athletes, such as the two kids that the Pirates drafted in the first four picks. So I'll be interested to see how it continues to evolve. But you know, the fact of the matter is, you want the best athletes involved in baseball, and if you can get them as high school players before they go to play football and get beat up for 3 years and potentially play football instead of baseball or so on and so forth, you know, in my opinion, in base, it's good for baseball to try to lure these kids away, you know, as early as they can to get the best of the best involved in Major League Baseball.
It obviously worked out for everyone involved, Neil, but do you ever wonder, like, do you ever think to yourself, if I had chosen football, what would my route have looked like?
Yeah, you know what it would have looked like? It would have looked like going to Penn State and them moving me from safety to linebacker and weighing 260 pounds by the time I left college and not be able to catch or hit anymore on the baseball field. That's probably what it was.
You'd have got jacked, though. You would have been totally jacked.
You'd had a neck like
Sean Lee.
No, you'd had a neck like Pozlosny.
I had no qualms when I decided that was definitely not the route I was going to go, because I 100% knew that I was not fast enough to play safety in college, and I was not fast enough to play wide receiver, so I would have been moved down in the box, and that was just not something that I was interested in.
Did you seriously have talks with Tom Bradley about this? Like, they recruited you really hard like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, my two biggest moments in high school football were getting invited to play in the Pennsylvania versus Ohio game.
Big 33.
And obviously not playing in it, but went to the pre-camp stuff or whatever you want to call it in like January. And they said, hey, and it was me and Darrell Revis that were supposed to be the cornerbacks for that game. And they said, hey, Neil, you're going to guard this guy named Ted Ginn Jr. from Ohio. And I kind of I had heard of Ted Ginn Jr. Obviously, he was still in high school. And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'm gonna not.
I think I'm busy that weekend.
I got a baseball game.
And then the other was when Tom Bradley came into Pine Ridgeland High School. It was right around the time where I was about to sign my letter of intent to play at Clemson University. And he came in at lunchtime and lured me away and just basically said, you don't have to come to spring football camp. You just have to come in August. You don't have to do any of this football stuff. You can play baseball year round at Penn State. And I was just like, I know where this rabbit hole is leading. I'm sorry, Tom. This is just not something that I'm interested in.
Scrap wanted you to put on like 40 pounds too,
right?
Didn't he?
Yeah.
For sure. That was 100% what was going to happen, and I knew it, and I knew that it would not have been good for my baseball career.
Yeah, you'd look like Casey Hampton right now. All right. Great stuff, Neil. We appreciate it. We'll talk again next week, my man.
All right, guys. You have a great week. Look forward to speaking with you next week.
Yeah,
yep,
you too. Great stuff. Great stuff. You know what? It does say something, though, with this Lonnie White Jr. In everything that I've been reading, it is a lifelong dream of his to run out on Beaver Stadium's field. It's crazy.
He's given up a lot.
Right.
And there's no guarantees that it's going to work out for him.
No. It's a good get for the – and they have really, it does feel like Omar Khan's juggling the money over there, because they have hit it just right on the number.
Right.
I mean, they are not going to have – seriously, if you're a 15th round pick or 8th round pick for the Pirates, here's $7. That's all we got for you. We got $7.
Sorry.
You in or not? Because that pool money, they have really, really made it really top heavy, and good for them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.